I'm here in Toronto, staying at my cousin Robert's place. We got in late last night because the flight left at 5:30 in the afternoon in Budapest. At least it was supposed to. It ended up leaving about an hour and a half late, and got here about 10 p.m. Canada time. And we got over here to the house. By the time I took rest, it was about midnight. And it's very nice weather here, nice and balmy. The sun's shining, and it's even warmer than it was in Budapest. And I'm just waiting to get the password for the broadband connection here, so I can hopefully send this off and get it posted in one sense, because I'm really so far west. Devotees out east are going to be getting their podcasts quite late. I just spoke to Kesha Bharati Maharaj, and here it's 11:30 in the morning over there, and Delhi was already 9 o'clock at night. So, but please bear with me, and I'll get everything out to you as quickly as possible. I'll be staying here until almost for 2 weeks, until the 11th, and I meant to go for a GBC meeting in New Vrindavan. And however, I'll see just how things go here in Toronto. And also how my mother is. I have a question here from Balaram Das, and let me just answer that. And he says, in your arrival lecture in New Brajadam, you mentioned the story when Krishna showed the Aprakrat Dam to the Brijbasis. It was a dam without the inhabitants. How is it possible that they were not there? And then he quotes something, but that's not necessary for further clarifying the question. Well, I'm just quoting the pastime that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. After so many pastimes in Vrindavan, and particularly when Krishna saved his father from Varunadev, not only that he just saved them, but Nanda Maharaj was taken to Varuna Loka, and Krishna and Balaram followed him down there. And when they arrived, then Nanda Maharaj was very surprised how Varuna actually received Krishna and Balaram. He didn't receive them as some cowherds or some ordinary people, but he showed him so much respect. He gave him the respect worthy of the Supreme Lord. And amongst the demigods, Varuna is not only one of the foremost demigods and most powerful. If you remember that when Hiranyaksha really had defeated all the demigods, he went to Varuna because he was considered to be so strong and senior. In addition to being foremost amongst, or one of the foremost demigods, Varuna is also spiritually an advanced Vaishnava. So this great personality was showing so much respect to Krishna and Balaram, and Nanda Maharaj, of course, covered by Krishna's yogamaya potency, he was really wonderstruck by this relationship. And then, of course, Krishna then brought Nanda Maharaj back, and when he brought him back, then Nanda Maharaj revealed this whole story to the Brijbasis, and the Brijbasis were talking amongst themselves, and they began to wonder, well, who is Krishna? I mean, they knew that he performed so many wonderful activities, but they'd always have some type of rationalization. Maybe he has some particular mantra that Lord Vishnu actually manifests his potency through him, and therefore he was able to lift the Govardhan Hill, that by the piety of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna was saved. But here was a personal interaction. This wasn't just a matter of killing demons. This was the deference that a great demigod showed to Krishna, and therefore they started speaking, and in speaking they sort of came to the conclusion that maybe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe he is Lord Narayan. And of course, the interesting thing about how the Brijabasis meditate on this is that it doesn't take away their feelings of very intimate affection for Krishna. They don't view it that, oh, actually, Krishna is Narayan, so let's worship Narayan. But rather they think, well, this is another one of Krishna's wonderful aspects, that isn't it wonderful how Krishna is also Narayan. But for them, the prominent thing is that he's a cowherd boy, their folk hero, the village, I guess I could use the word rascal, who's always causing so many problems, and also the person who's giving them protection from all of the elements that threaten the peace and the sanctity of Vrindavan and its inhabitants. And when they were thinking that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then they also started to wonder, well, I wonder if Krishna is going to give us liberation. If he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's now appeared amongst us, is he going to then take us back to Vishnu Loka? And Krishna understood what was on the minds of the Brijabasis. So it's described that he took them to Brahmarida. Brahmarida is another name for Akrura Ghat, or the same place where Krishna showed Akrura his form as Maha Vishnu, along with all of his associates. So at that same place, Krishna then had the inhabitants of Vrindavan bathe in the waters, and when they came out, then they saw the Goloka Vrindavan. Now, here's where Balaram's question comes in, because Jiva Goswami, in commenting on this, he points out that although Bhagavatam states that they actually saw their homes and everything else over there, and which they recognize as actually being non-different than the place where they were staying, here in Boma Vrindavan, Vrindavan on earth, he says that there's no mention that they saw any inhabitants there. And he gives the answer for that is because the inhabitants were themselves. That doesn't mean that they were also not visible in Goloka Vrindavan, but Krishna didn't manifest them to be visible in order to give them that message that not only are they going back to Godhead, but they're also already eternal associates of his who came from Goloka Vrindavan. At least the eternal associates did. And then the question is, well, how can Krishna manifest Goloka Vrindavan without inhabitants? And of course the answer is that Krishna can do anything that he wants. He can make anything visible, he can make anything non-visible. After all, in one sense, we're also residing, living in Goloka Vrindavan right now. Goloka Vrindavan is all-pervading and is everywhere. But still, we don't see it. Why? Because of the influence of Krishna's potency. So in the same way, by the influence of Krishna's transcendental desire, the Brijabasis were able to envisage the spiritual world. They were reassured of their future destination, but they didn't see other inhabitants there. It's bewildering. It's bewildering to us how things happen. It's bewildering to Krishna's associates, such as the Vrijbasis. In many of these instances, I just cited how Krishna's potencies work. However, we need to start with that type of faith and that type of conviction that this is just exactly what Krishna's potencies and Krishna's energy is all about, is that they're achintya, they're inconceivable. And they're bewildering, they're confusing to the minds of conditioned souls. What to speak of minds of conditioned souls, they're confusing even to the minds of liberated souls. Because after all, we're very small. Anuranyana mahatur mahayana. We're anu. Anu means atomic, and he's mahat, which means he's unlimitedly great. So we can only conceive of some aspects of Krishna's greatness with our minds and intelligence. And prasada leshanu grihita ivahi. And Krishna is perceived or understood by us by his mercy. By his mercy means is that he empowers our small, limited intelligence in order to be able to understand some of his greatness. And even then, I say some of his greatness, because all of his greatness cannot be understood, because even he himself can't come to grips with just how great he is, because his potencies are always expanding, his status is always increasing at an infinitely rapid rate. Therefore, the only thing we as little living entities can do is just accept Achintya Kalu Jibhava, Krishna's inconceivable potencies, and offer our obeisances to them. Anyway, so that's the answer to Balaram's question. I have one other question, and please send your other questions in and formulate them sort of briefly, because I'm not downloading on internet, which means that the questions are going to have to be forwarded to me through my mobile phone. Okay, well, we'll be in touch with you all tomorrow. Hare Krishna.